So I've said this before, but I believe myself to be a most fortunate man. I get to be your pastor. I get to work here. I'm a lucky man. I mean, to be sure, I have had my trials and tribulations, for the most part of my own doing, but I have typically been able to muster an appropriate response. I mean, the truth of it is, we don't get to choose the things that happen to us, but what we do get to do is we get to choose how we respond. And how you respond to the trials and tribulations in your life can really affect the outcome of those things. But I will also say that the bad experiences that I have had in my life pale to that of others that I know. I mean, I've said before, I won the parental lottery, right? I got great parents. I have a great family. I'm so fortunate in that regard. I've made mistakes. I've made a lot of them. But you know what? I have lived my life in such a way that I am here at this moment, in this time, in this place, and I'm happy. I'm happy with that. And I can look back at my life and I can say I really have almost no regrets. But I do have a few. And one that haunts me. Actually, shames me. Is that I will die never having served my country in uniform. My dad did. My son did. Both my grandfathers did, and I have not. And I have several excellent excuses, but they remain just that. Excuses. We are celebrating Memorial Day. Tomorrow is the actual day of observance. And in our culture, it's like the kickoff to summer, right? Everybody goes out in their boats. Don't go out on the lake, by the way. It's crazy out there. Crazy people doing crazy things. And we have barbecues, and it's a big time, Memorial Day is. But tomorrow, you need to slow down. Stop the fun long enough to remember what Memorial Day is really about. It is about remembering those that gave their lives, that we might be free, that we might have all of the freedoms. These people, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, gave their lives that we could be free. And when I think of those that gave their lives, that paid the ultimate price, that we could be free, I immediately think about Jesus talking to his disciples in the Gospel of John. It's the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 15. He's gathered with the disciples, and he says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." So this text here, it's happening in the Gospel of John after the foot washing, after the Last Supper. And Jesus is preparing himself to be turned over. He knows what is about to happen. And in the next two chapters, he lays out to his disciples everything that is going to happen. He tells them all that is about to transpire. In this text, Jesus makes it clear that his followers will experience joy and that they will love and be loved. I mean, in it, he gives us that great commandment to love one another as he has loved us. And in this text, the most extraordinary thing happens. Jesus tells his followers that they are no longer his slaves, but that they are his friends. Did you get that? The God of the universe is telling these folks that have been following him around and us that we are his friends. The Greek word that is used as slave is doulos. And the role of a slave was to just do exactly what he was told. He didn't get to hear the insight. He didn't get to hear what his master's reasoning was. And so Jesus tells the disciples that they are his friends, and then he proceeds to tell them everything that is about to happen. He is revealing to them their friend, his friend, what is about to happen. Think about this. We actually are considered by the God of the universe, the one who spoke things into creation, we are considered a friend. Like that song, we are a friend of Jesus. Jesus has told them that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. And that's exactly what Jesus is preparing to do. Jesus is preparing to lay down his life for his friend. We understand that Jesus died for the world, right? We understand that he died for the sins of the world so that we all might have the opportunity to be forgiven. But Jesus has told us that we are his friend and that he is laying his life down for us, for me, for Mike Tyson. For you, there is a level at which Jesus is dying personally for you, that you might experience a freedom from sin and death. On this Memorial Day, we remember those that gave their lives for us to be a free nation. But when you look at those that are in combat, there is no doubt of their love of country, right? They are there because they love their country, and let's be honest, not everybody was there by choice. Some were drafted, but they still love their country. But you look at the acts of heroism, what happens in combat. The truth is that while they are there because they love their country, they are fighting for their friends. They are fighting for the buddy in the foxhole next to them or in the airplane next to them. The truth is that they are fighting for their friends. Can you imagine the courage that it takes. Some of you may have experienced it. But I think about those guys who were in those landing craft on D-Day, in particular at Omaha Beach. The first wave of those people that were landing, their life expectancy was measured in minutes. I mean, if you were in the third or the fourth wave, your life expectancy went up. But the courage that it took to move forward, the acts of heroism that happen in battle are not for love of country, but it's love of friends. You look at the actions of a Medal of Honor winner, John Bassalone, or the story of Marcus Luttrell. They are there fighting for the guy next to them. Yes, they love their country, but they are fighting for the people that are next to them. You look at the actions of the medic, Desmond Doss, who won the Medal of Honor without firing a shot, as he rescued 75 of his brothers in Okinawa. He was saving his brothers. He was saving his friends. In the declared wars that we have fought over the years, going all the way back to the American Revolution, over 1.3 million people have died for our freedom, that we might be free. 1.3 million Americans have given their life for others. Jesus laid down his life for us, his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you, that you fill in your name, that you might be able to experience freedom from the fear of the wages of sin, be free from fear of death, because through him you have been given eternal life. When you arrived today, you were given this little poppy, this little flower. And as we talked about, since World War I, the poppy has been a symbol of remembrance of the sacrifices that were made by Americans for Americans. So as you go forth from this place today, let this poppy that you have, let it be more than a flower. Let it be more than a pen. Let it be a sermon in red, telling the story of love, lives that were laid down for others. Let this poppy preach to you without words the truth that Jesus declared, that the greatest love is a love that gives. Let this poppy remind you of the life of Christ that was given for you and for the life of Americans that died that you might be free. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we are so grateful for those that have fought our fights, that have gone to battle, that we might be free. Father, for those that have lost loved ones, let your Holy Spirit come to them and comfort them. Father, forever write on our hearts gratitude for those that paid the price for our freedom. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.